expectation. It's going to be a great, great, great day. Amen. So happy for it. I'm excited for it.
I'm excited too.
Amen.
Prayer was awesome this morning.
Praise the Lord.
Lots of good stuff.
Glory to God.
Pregnancy, expectation, birthing, you know.
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit. All that good stuff.
Amen. If you're watching online, get an expectation. If you're sitting here, get an expectation. You may be seated. We just welcome you. It's going to be a great, great day. I'm glad to have my mom here today and Mr. Don. Amen. We love you. We praise God for you.
The church nanny.
Yeah. Amen. I like it when she's here. Amen. It blesses me. We're so glad to have you. To all of our guests, we want to welcome you this morning to Boomerang Church. And we want to tell you this. We're not your average church, and it's generally different from your traditional church. Basically, we find that people fall into one of three categories. They love us, they hate us, or they don't know what to think about us. And we're good with all three. We know what we're doing. We know where we're going. The question is God placing you with us, whether your flesh likes it or not?
Yeah.
And your flesh might not like it. Most of our flesh didn't like parts of it as well. But he challenges us, stretches us, grows us, and we become who God wants us to be.
Amen.
Understand that to walk in the fullness of your destiny that God has for you, you will have to crucify your flesh. Meaning that your flesh is not necessarily going to like what happens when the Holy Spirit actually shows up and starts moving in your life. The Holy Spirit's going to cause you to crucify that flesh. But it's an awesome thing for us.
You'll love the fruit.
Huh?
You'll love the fruit.
Yeah, you'll love the fruit of it. That's what the Word says in Hebrews 12:11. And you'll eat the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So we're a church that doesn't believe in playing religious political games.
Yeah.
But we believe in stretching towards everything of all the good plans of God for our lives.
Yeah.
And that means we take some steps. And we take steps in the direction of following the Spirit and not yielding to a corrupted flesh, but crucifying our flesh daily, taking up our cross daily. And how many people have been challenged by that over the weeks and days and years? Amen. See? So if you think you're going to come in and not be challenged by that, you are fooling yourself. And don't do that. This is a church that's going to, it'll take you by the hand and lift you up. But you're going to have to let go of some of those lower things. Amen.
Yeah.
And so that's the church you're sitting in. We start at 10 o'clock and we don't know what time we finish each week. Generally, it's between 12:30 and 1:30, but that's just a range. It could be before that, generally not, and it could be after that, generally so. So just so you have an idea, but we seek after the Lord, and we go after Him, and because of that, we see the power of God.
Yeah.
We see healing on a very regular basis, miracles, financial breakthroughs. We see the power of God. This year, we're over 4,400 commitments to Christ in this body.
Yeah.
All around the world, influencing people. And it's just awesome what the Lord's doing, like testimony after testimony after testimony. Every week, it's so many. And so, who's ready to receive those testimonies for yourself today? Because like we talked about last week, what you expect is what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're ready for that, ready to jump into today. And amen. One thing that happened this week, you may not know this, but we have our leadership teams called the EC and the ELT. Thank you, sir. And we have four leadership teams, one for the Albemarle campus, one for the Troy campus that's about to be planted, and amen. And then one for What's Right, because if you don't know it, we do a daily broadcast every weekday for the most part. And then we just went live on national TV, on DirecTV. So, amen. We have the third episode that's premiering tonight at 10 p.m. either on DirecTV if you have it, or on YouTube. You can watch it there. So that'll come out tonight at 10 p.m. This is a powerful one. You'll want to see it. But then we have Impact University. We travel and we literally speak into nations, all from Albemarle, North Carolina. There's a lot going on. This week we had our planning and our team building, and your teams, your leadership teams, worked hard from basically sunup to sundown and beyond all throughout the week. And I'm telling you, it was probably our best meeting that we ever had.
Yes.
And it was awesome. Yeah. It was so, so good. And it was like looking into this next year, we're planning 2024, and looking into 2024, we're like, oh my goodness, this is going to be great. It's going to be really, really cool. And so I'm ready for today. All right, ready to go. Amen. Amen.
Lots of good stuff going on, y'all. It was all, right? It was all throughout this week, all throughout prayer, like just in prayer, expectation, pregnancies, birthing came out through prayer. And, you know, I was like, Lord, I know every church is called to be, you know, pregnant, expecting with the blessings and the overflow that we're experiencing now. I was like, why aren't we seeing that more? And I was given a vision of, like, you know, a natural pregnancy and a miscarriage. And miscarriages happen when the body isn't prepared to carry what's called to be within it. When the body isn't prepared to carry the life that is birthed with, or that's breathed within it, it miscarries. And that's what we've seen in the American church, is so many miscarriages because the people aren't expecting. They aren't prepared to carry the call that God's got within them, but not boomerang, y'all. I walked in this morning and it's like these walls, these side walls here, I watched and they blew out on both sides. Because when somebody's expecting, when a woman's expecting, what happens to her belly? It goes out in every direction. And when I walked in here this morning for prayer, I watched and the walls went. Birthing is now. We've been expecting, but what you're going to see in 24 is a birthing of the things that have been building up and stirring inside us. We felt that movement. We felt the kicks. And sometimes, you know, the expectation process can have some pain to it. But that birthing, it's always a beautiful thing. And I'm telling y'all, you need to be expecting. You need to be making sure that you yourself are prepared. You are nourished and ready to carry that pregnancy within you, because birthing is coming. And great things are coming. Not just out of these walls, but out of these. Out of this. This is the church. You're the church. This is a building. This is like, I don't know what, plywood, nails, stuff. I'm not a, whatever it is that builds those, I'm not a house builder. This is stuff. This burns to the ground. One match. Burns to the ground. This is the church. This is what's pregnant and expecting. You need to be ready. You need to be watching, because it's coming through each and every one of you. I'm telling you right now, if you're bored, it's because you hadn't planted yourself in the body of Boomerang. Anybody that's bored, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, you are not as planted in Boomerang as what you may think you are. Because there's too much being done in the kingdom of God. It's not a time to be bored. It's not a time to be self-serving. There's nothing but poo on the TV. So stop watching the poo tube. Get busy. There are souls to be saved. There's lives to be transformed. There's a kingdom to be expanded. There's work to be done. But here's the thing. Man, y'all, look, we had some long days. Like, there's a picture I could show you. We took them to breakfast. And here's what Marky did. I'm not even kidding. Your ELT worked their heinies off this week with some long days. But yet it was our best one ever. And you got like, Buddy was up there singing some bazooka song. And like, we had fun. The kingdom is work, but it's fun. God's so good. He's fun. You know what I learned? You know how at a ball game, like a baseball game, you can throw a ball into the crowd? You can't do that with bowling. I know that now. So the anointing, you know, we transfer it, right? Well, we've got an online broadcast or an online congregation, basically people that can't be here every week because they live far away. My mama is one of them. Hi, Mom, I love you. Your mother-in-law sent me a joke this week. The anointing transferred. What do you feed an invisible cat? Evaporated milk. Wasn't that perfect? So great. Thank you, Mommy. Hey, what did the hat say to the scarf? He said, you go ahead, hang around there, and I'm going to go on ahead. I like this one. This one's for you. What do you call a reluctant potato? A hesitator. I got pastor on that one. All right. Look, y'all, God's kingdom is fun. God's fun. If you can't laugh with God, you don't know him. You can also whoop with God because it's tithes and offerings time. Woo-woo! If y'all were watching, wondering, or new here and wondering, we get real, real excited about the things of God. We get real excited about God's ways because God's ways equals God's fruit. Yeah. And like fruit, fruit is good. Fruit is sweet. God's fruit, good. God's fruit, sweet. So we like it. I found that the only people that complain about tithing are non-tithers. You don't find that much around here. So we get real excited and we talk a lot about tithing and giving because we've seen it work. Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, at this point, millions of dollars since this ministry has been in operation because of this. Yeah. Hundreds and thousands, millions of dollars in debt relief, yeah, and unexpected blessing. Yeah. Not just for this building, but for each and every one of you. Yeah. Like unexpected stuff. Y'all look, like even the coat I wore in today, a couple of years ago, I walked in my laundry room and I'm like, that's a really nice coat. I wonder whose it is. I asked everybody in the house. I don't know. I was like, well, praise the Lord. I receive. Like stuff just appears. God's good. He's a debt canceling God. And when we walk in his ways, we watch things get broken off. We watch things be given. Look, let me show you a couple of examples. When you walk in God's ways of sowing and reaping, in 2 Kings 4, God canceled a widow's debt. It says, now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, that's a whole mouthful right there, cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in this house except a jar of oil. And then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. You shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour into these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not one vessel more. And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Now, if you notice right here, it didn't say how this debt was like incurred. It didn't say that they were good and perfect people. And oh, it is such a shame that that happened to you. Like, they could have just gone and been frivolous. They could have messed up. They could have done it, you know, because they made wrong choices. They could have done it because they made right choices. Either way, it was debt. And God said, not on my people. You do things my way, we'll erase this. You do things God's way, he'll erase the ways of the world. But she had to come with something. He said, what do you have? She's like, I ain't got nothing. Oh, except, yep, bring that. It's not that God needs your last penny. But he says, when you partner with me, understand a partnership is not just one person dragging the other person along. That's force. A partnership is taking each other hand in hand and saying, let's go together. When she did it God's way and she brought the one thing she had, she entered into partnership with God's ways of things. And God said, watch this. I'm not just going to erase your debt. I'm not just going to feed you this week. Like, he blessed her so much. Her and her sons lived forever on the rest. That's what that says. God's ways, abundance. God redeemed a borrowed axe head. Second Kings, y'all, is slap full of good stuff. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried out, alas, my master, it was borrowed. Oh, snap. That's what he said. I borrowed this. It ain't mine. Then the man of God said, where'd it fall? He showed him the place. He cut off a stick, and he threw it in there. It made the iron float. He said, take it up for yourself. So we put his hand in and took it out. God's like, oh, an oopsie? Okay. I got this. You do what I say. I got it fixed. No worries. Like, why do we get all in a tizzy? All you got to do is, Diddy, what you want me to do here? And he tells you. God miraculously paid Jesus' tax bill. Hallelujah. Tax bills paid. My tax bills are paid all day, every day. Matthew 17, when they came to Capernaum, those who collected the two drachma, however that's supposed to be said, not in Southern, tax, came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the 2-cent tax? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers? When Peter said from strangers, Jesus said to him, then the sons are exempt. However, so that we do not offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook. Take out that first fish, and when you open its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Y'all, it's important who you hook to. Like, Jesus could have just paid his own tax, but he was connected. And because Peter was connected to him, Jesus is like, I got your back. This is a partnership. This is a connection, not just with Boomerang. Yes, it's a connection with Boomerang, because if you're called to be planted here, you're called to sow into the storehouse. But more importantly, this is a connection with God. It's saying, Lord, I've done things my way. There was lots of ramen noodle kind of nights. But my son found out this week he likes flat iron steak and sirloins. I'm going to need more than ramen noodle money. So I'm going to need to partner with you because Luke likes steak. I'm going to need to partner with you because we're pregnant and expecting bigger and bigger and bigger. And Lord, I need to be ready. So when there's a person that has a need, you can say, go find Boomerang. Go find a person at Boomerang. They'll show you my ways. They'll pour out my blessings. Man, Boomerang is overflowing. They've heard me. They've obeyed me. They can't stop the blessing. I need you to go receive because Boomerang is busting at the seams. That's what this is. That's why we whoop whoop, because we are called, we are chosen, and we are anointed to be blessed, to be a blessing. Take your seat. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for using us. Thank you, Father. You are a debt-canceling God. You are a God of of abundance. You are a God of prosperity and blessings. And Lord, today, even if we didn't come prepared, Lord, each of us have been given an envelope. Lord, we partner with you today. We hear from you. We obey you. Lord, you've asked, what do you have? This is our accept. This is what we have. Our obedience to you. Lord, I'm nothing without my obedience to you. But in you, walking in obedience to you, Lord, I have more than enough. And Lord, I count it an honor to be used by you. I count it an honor to overflow for your glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the seeds that are given today. Lord, I call those seeds blessed. They will produce an abundant harvest for your kingdom. Souls saved through Boomerang Church International. Lives restored through Boomerang Church International. Lord, I thank you for the blessings upon the giver. Lord, we can't be blessed to give if we're not first blessed. Lord, you called us blessed because we do give. So I thank you for an abundant harvest for each and every giver today. Lord, we praise you. What a blessing it is to partner with you, Lord. Above and beyond our wildest imagination. That's what we see because we partner with you. Lord, we thank you today. Your will is done in us and through us, in these seeds and through these seeds, in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring your seeds.
Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're guaranteeing our harvest today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that in this seed, it's blessed. This seed is blessed, and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, may men pour out into our lives. Father, we receive the harvest with thanksgiving. We reap with joyful shouting. And so, Father, we thank you now. We thank you in advance. The harvest is on the way, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. How's everybody doing? Amen. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Did you see areas to apply last week's message about you're blessed to be a blessing? You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed. Stop expecting for it to not work. Start expecting for it to work. How many people that revelation was challenged this week? I've found that the Lord will always give you a message that will give you the supply that you need based off of what you're about to face or what you're about to go through. He'll give you a message every time. And I can't tell you how many times this week I told people, you need to go back and listen to Sunday's message and expect something. Because you get what you expect, right? Yeah. You get what you expect. And we talked about that last week. And one of the things that we've said is one word from God, one word from anointed preaching can change your life forever. And I hope that that day for you is today. Amen. I truly believe that if you'll listen to the message today, you will never be the same. You will have access to things that you've dreamt of if you'll hear this word today. I mean, you will have access to your dreams and to your destiny if you'll hear this word today. So, amen. Is everybody ready to receive? You in expectation? Glory to God, I feel like I'm about to pop. So, amen. I'm just trying to keep it together right now. Because I know what this word will do. I know what this word this morning will do for you. It'll change you forever. And it'll open up what God has had planned for you for a long, long time. Amen. What did we talk about in 2023? 2023? The year of the glory. And I'll remind you that in Exodus, where it talks about Exodus 33 and 34, it talks about the glory. And this is supposed to be a year of the glory. We've had more testimonies this year than we've ever had in the history of Boomerang. Boomerang started in our living room 15 years ago. And now I'm telling you, even our leadership team, when we were planning out and showing everything that's going on in the ministry, even our leadership teams were like, wow, I didn't realize how much stuff we're doing and how many lives were affected. I didn't realize how much was happening from Albemarle, North Carolina. I didn't realize just how much. It's the year of glory. And I'll remind you that when Moses says to the Lord, Lord, show me your glory, the Lord responds this way. He says, I will cause all of my goodness to pass before you. Not just some of it, not part of it, amen. All. He said, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. All of it. And this is the year of glory. And what I'm going to give to you today in the 70s, I think it came out in the 70s, it definitely looks like it, there was a movie called Willy Wonka or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I can remember the song that they sang. If I had a golden ticket, if I had a golden ticket. And what I'm going to talk about today is your golden ticket. Your golden ticket. And the gold is often, glory is often represented by gold. This is your golden ticket. This, I'm going to give you the ticket that gives you access into the glory this morning. Amen. And I'm going to show it to you in the Word. From so many scriptures, your fingers might be tired physically at the end of this message. I mean, it's all over the Word, and I'm not giving you all of them. I'm just giving you a few important ones. But it's your golden ticket. And I remember in that movie, man, just the thought and the hope of what that golden ticket would afford them caused the grandparents who hadn't walked in decades all of a sudden get out around the bed and start dancing all over the place because they thought, I can get a golden ticket. And if we get a golden ticket, and all of a sudden, you know, out of nowhere, the hope, they start dancing around. Now, it's not a biblical movie, but if you start to understand, it wouldn't surprise me if people got a hold of this message this morning, started dancing right there, started jumping up out of their seat and dancing, letting it fly, let thanksgiving and glory to God fly out of their spirit man and remind their physical man about it. Because there is a gateway and there's a way into the things of God. We've heard Brother Tracy preach about the name of Jesus and what's in that name. Everything is in that name that Jesus received. And when you use the name of Jesus, you literally have access to everything that God paid for, and Jesus paid for through the passion of that week and on that cross and his resurrection from that grave. Everything is in that name. I'll remind you of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, I'm just paraphrasing, that you have already been given everything. How much?
Everything.
This is the Holy Spirit talking now. You've already been given everything pertaining to life, and that means the Zoe life of God, the fullness, life, full life in every area is what that means. You've already been given everything, granted everything pertaining to life and godliness. To walk out all that God would have you to walk out. Access to it all. And then in verse 4, it says that He's made you a partaker or a partner of His divine nature. That means when we walk on the earth, we literally have access to His divinity, and He's made us a partaker of it. We can't have it by ourselves. We're not the source of it, but He granted us access. He granted. And it's in that name. And then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, or excuse me, Ephesians 1 and verse 3, He said that He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Right? I was watching a preaching yesterday. And let me show you. Come here, Mark. I want to show you something. This is an example Charles Capps was using. Take your jacket off if you would. Now, I want you to see this, and this is the example that Charles Capps used in that. I want you to see this because without understanding this, we won't understand what's really going on. Because we can have all those things. How many people are blessed? How many people are blessed with every spiritual blessing? Every believer. How many people have already been granted everything pertaining to life and godliness? And made a partaker of His divinity. Every believer. But how many people are walking in it? You're right. I heard Miss Nancy say, not too many. But just because we aren't walking in it doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because we're not walking in it doesn't mean that it's not available. No, it is available. It's just we got to learn how to put it on. We got to learn how to put it on. So imagine that, and this is the example that Charles Capps had. Imagine that Mark just came from a Pacific island. He's been on that island all of his life. He's never seen a jacket before. He's been warm all of his life. He's never been cold before. He's never been cold. Hand me my water, please. He's never been cold before. He's never seen a coat. He's never seen a jacket. And then he comes to North Carolina. And all of a sudden, it's chilly outside. And he wants to be warm. And so I tell him, put on that coat. But the thing is, he'd never seen a coat before. He doesn't know how it works. He's never had to use one before. He's got access to it, but he doesn't know how to put it on. You see, he doesn't know even the benefits that he has, how to use them. And so he would take this coat and I'd say, hey, let's say, if you don't mind me, hey, that coat's for you. It'll help you stay warm. And he picks it up. Now act like you've never seen a coat before and you don't even know what it does. He doesn't even know what ends up. He doesn't know that this part means it goes up, that the collar part means it goes up. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know that the nice feeling goes to the inside. If he doesn't know that these are called arms. His language might be different. Many times when you come into a word of faith, then you don't understand when people say, believe that you have received it. You've not heard that terminology before. You don't know what that means. And I might say, yeah, put your arms in the arms of the coat. He's like, what arms? What arms? He doesn't even know what's inside out. Yeah. And so he's like, is this it? He's like, I still feel a draft on the backside. Why? Because he doesn't know. Now he's got everything here to help him do that. But this is where discipleship comes in. Because this is where somebody says, this is a coat. it will help you stay warm. You don't have to wear it all the time, but if you're cold, you can. These are the arms of the coat. This is the top. This is the inside. Here, watch this. See, even if, I don't know if you've ever found this to be so, but sometimes when you're new at something, you don't even know how to put it on. Remember kids? They're like trying to put on a coat. And it's crazy how they try to put it on. And you got to help them. You got to help be a disciple maker and say, here, give me your right arm. Stick your right arm out. And you literally put it on for them. This is discipleship. Here, give me your left arm and let's put it in this one. They don't know even how to bend. You know, a kid, he knows how to bend. See, he helped me because he already has knowledge of it. But when kids don't even know they need to give their arm backwards. They're just like, here. They're like, no, give it back here. Now, they don't know how to do it. But then they don't know how it sits. You know, a kid will walk out like that. Because they don't know yet. Doesn't mean they don't have access to a coat. It just means they don't know what to do with it yet. They won't button it. They won't zip it. Thank you, sir. They won't do many things with it because they've not learned the language. Even believers that come into church and they've been at church in 2 to 3 years, they don't know how to handle faith all the time. I'll tell you, most people that come to church, they don't know how to handle faith. They think they know how to handle faith. And what they end up finding out is all this time they thought they were in a strong, faith-filled believer. God was just merciful. Just like we are with our kids. And we're like, yeah, look how cute, how sweet. All the adults are laughing at the kid. Can you imagine the angels? Look at him trying to be in faith. That's so cute. We're talking about a 55-year-old person. That's so cute, right? But honestly, this is why 1 Corinthians 12 says, don't be ignorant about spiritual things. So, and to all of our guests today, this is pretty normal. We're growing. We're going to stretch. We're going to grow. And I promise you, the things you think you don't know at the level you think you know them. Yeah. Why? Because God's too big for you to understand everything about Him. There's too much to Him. And every time you get to the place where you think you know Him, another side of Him, another facet of Him opens up. And you're like, ah, God, you're so good. You're so big. Every time. And this is where we can live. And when you get a hold of that, it'll put you and set you on a journey that's not boring, but quite exciting. But it'll stretch you. It'll stretch you. And so you may have everything granted to you, everything pertaining to life and godliness. You, every believer, from the youngest, most immature believer to the most mature believer, has been made a partner with the divine nature of God. But that doesn't mean we're walking in it. Because the truth is, and this is why we tell you, you're not in your average church. Because the average church has, honestly, no revelation of these things. They talk about them like they know what they're talking about, but they really don't know. I would say this church, if grade 12 is maturity, I would say this church is like first grade. Because there's so much more in God. The issue is that we've made average things that are so subpar that when somebody even is still very low, we think they're doing great. And the reason is because we're judging them based off of other believers and other churches, but we're not judging them off of the Word of God. And so our average and what we think is normal has been such a low standard, but it's time to get into the Word of God. And it's time to see what God's talking about. It's time to realize that when in the Old Testament with Moses, a man under the curse without Jesus goes up on the mountain, he has full conversations with God and even says to God, show me your glory. And God didn't zap him. Because I thought that would happen for quite some time. And then I read that story and I'm like, oh, he's about to die. And oh my goodness, Moses is about to die. But he didn't die. God didn't even get mad at him. He didn't even rebuke him. Matter of fact, he kind of commended him, patted him on the back. It's like, you can't see exactly what you're asking me. I'm going to show you everything I can. I will cause my glory. I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. But I'm going to have to protect you. And then this man under the curse without Jesus has an interaction and an encounter with God Almighty. Yes. And he gets lit up like a light bulb, so much so that the glory physically on his face they had to cover because people were scared of him. I mean, can you imagine it? You know, y'all walk in next Sunday morning. And then one of you got a revelation of the glory that week and spent time with God. And you walk in the doors and nobody can see your face because it looks shining like the sun. Everybody's going to be like, beep, 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 putting it in reverse. It's going to look weird. But it shouldn't look weird. It should actually be. How can that dude under the curse without Jesus have something that we don't have?
Right.
That's not normal to us. And the way that he does, because he knew how to put on the coat. Even at his lower condition, he knew more about how to put on the coat than we do. That's where we want to live. We want to live in the place where we know how to put on the coat. I want to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I want to read that I've been granted all things pertaining to life and godliness and know how to put on that life and godliness. I want to know how to put on partnership with His divinity. I want to walk in those things. And listen, from your perspective, all right, Pastor Brian's going after it. Forget about Pastor Brian. I'm a believer. I want to walk in those things too. And you should.
Yeah.
And I want you to. If you walk up in here lit up like a light bulb because of the glory of God, I'm going to start shouting. I'm going to start yelling because I want that glory on all of you. Think about it. When Jesus and the disciples went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, all of a sudden, he just lets loose what was normal for a believer. What was normal for a child of God. He just shows them in the spirit what he actually was. Man, even the disciples in that moment was like, let's start building temples. Like, this is the greatest thing we've ever seen. Let's start building buildings. Jesus was like, you don't understand what this is for. You're called to carry this. You're called to carry it. You see. You're called to carry. Every believer has made a partaker, has been made a partner with the divine nature of God. This is in you now, even if you don't know how to let it out. This is available to you, even if you don't know how to put it on. This is a touch where God wants us to be, but we got to know what to do. So today we're talking about the golden ticket. We're talking about, what is this gateway into the glory? What's the gateway into all the things of God? I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'm gonna move fast through these scriptures. We can get you the notes if you want to. Set your eyes on it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24, one of the greatest sets of verses for a believer to know and to walk in. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, rejoice always. Rejoice
always.
Always. Anybody had a circumstance or a situation where you didn't feel like rejoicing? Anybody ever had that before? I didn't feel like rejoicing today. Anybody had a week like that, a month, maybe a year, maybe a decade? I didn't feel like rejoicing all decade. But it didn't say rejoice when you feel like it. It gave a command. How often?
Always.
Always. Well, I don't feel like it. Who's the Lord? Jesus is. Who's not the Lord? This guy. Your feelings, your thoughts, your circumstances, not the Lord. Feelings not on the throne. Logic's not on the throne. Jesus on the throne. What did Jesus say by the Holy Spirit right here? Rejoice. How often? How many circumstances? No matter how you feel, rejoice. Always, always, always. Rejoice always. Now that would be really unjust. Now, is God just or unjust? Because if he told you to rejoice over something, but there was actually nothing to rejoice over, that would be wrong. So if he's telling you to rejoice over something, there must be something to rejoice over. There must be something, or else he's being unjust. There is something to rejoice over, no matter how you feel about it, no matter what you can see. See, just like Mark earlier, he could rejoice over having provision for a coat, even though he didn't know how to put it on yet. But if he rejoices, it'll open up access to wisdom and discipleship on what he has already in his hand. So he might not have known it before then, but rejoice will open up. God knows this. God knows that rejoicing will open up some things. So he says, no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, rejoice. Yeah. Rejoice. Yeah. Joy is one thing, and you receive the joy as the fruit of the Spirit. You receive the joy. But this doesn't just say put on joy. It says rejoice, which means you're putting on joy again. In other words, I can choose to put on joy in any circumstance, in any situation. I can choose to put on joy again simply because I make a decision to. Not because, you know, how many people you feel like not rejoicing before, but you see, you start to realize I can rejoice regardless of how I feel. I can rejoice regardless of that. You have the power to rejoice in an unrejoicing situation. And when you do, you start to tap heaven. It's kind of like up in Vermont, and they have the maple trees. And they'll throw a tap in there, right? And out will come the maple syrup. Is that how that happens? Yeah, maple sugar. It's just in the tree already. You just got to know how to tap it. So if you're in the middle of a situation that doesn't feel rejoiceable, then you just start rejoicing anyway, and you just tap what's already there in the Spirit.
Glory.
Which reminds me of just a few weeks ago. I forget what I was saying, but I was saying something. And buddy, come tell that story about when you were sitting here and you weren't feeling it. Tell it quickly.
I was sitting over here, Pastor. You were going through Psalm 23, and you were talking about he leads us on paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that what he leads us into makes him look good.
Yeah.
For his name's sake, for his glory. And you said, I don't remember specifically, but you said something along the lines of, we want our lives to look like something that would cause people to give him glory or whatever. And I was looking over, and I was sitting over here, I was like, I guess I'm a crappy representative or a bad representative of Jesus. Pardon my French. And,
what you were thinking at
that's
the
what
moment.
I thought. Yeah, that's the thought that entered into my head. Just being honest in glass house. But
and let me say, so they have had a car that went out and the mechanic basically said, I don't think I'd fix this. I think I'd get rid of this and buy a new car. And so they're believing for a car, and right now at the moment they don't have the car. Well, everybody's got faith projects. Yeah. Everybody has faith project, all right? So then you're sitting there believing God for a car, but you don't have a car right now. So the devil in condemnation is going, look at what a sorry witness you are. Anybody ever had that? It looks like it's a non-rejoiceable situation. All right, go ahead.
Oh, and so that thought came into my head. And the very next thought that came into my head was, well, I can yield to that thought and completely, it's like, okay, the thought that came into my head was I can either yield to that thought and completely throw away, all hope and all expectation that God's actually going to manifest it, yeah, and the promise of it, you know, basically yielding to the enemy. Or I can shift that thought and actually receive what you're actually saying, is that if I continue to take him by the hand, he's going to manifest it, and people will give God the glory, and I'll give God the glory. But, you know, it'll cause people to look at my life and give him glory. So I had to shift that thought, and I said, no, and I'm and
you
I stood
the,
up.
You made the decision right there.
Yeah.
In a moment that didn't feel rejoiceable.
Yeah.
To do what?
To rejoice.
Yeah.
And so I amened and I rejoiced, and then instantly
okay.
You...
Okay. All right. No, go stand over there. So he's sitting over there in his seat. Did you stand up or just yell out?
I think you spoke something. I just responded some way.
I'm over here. I think Justin was sitting up here, I believe, that day. And I'm speaking to Justin. As soon as he responds, I don't know if I physically heard you or not, but this happened at the exact same moment. He told me afterwards. At that exact moment, I'm over here ministering, looking this way. The Holy Spirit smacks my spirit, and I turn quickly, and what did I say?
You just gave us a word. God's got it handled. I think you mentioned the situation briefly.
Correct.
But then you said God's got it handled. God's got it handled.
Because I'm over there preaching, but his rejoicing that he made a decision to do instantly released a fresh promise from God to back up that decision that he just made. And it's that word that can change everything. So when he made that decision to rejoice, I mean, power from heaven, backup from heaven was released instantly in that moment.
Yeah.
Now, what's interesting is I don't know what's going on in his head. I don't know what's going on in his life. I'm over here ministering. I'm over here preaching. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit smacks me and says, speak this over him right now. And I didn't know the timing of it. I just was being led by the Spirit on this side. He was being led by the Spirit by making the right decision over here. Now, here's the question. How often does that happen? How often does the moment we decide to put on rejoicing in the middle of an unrejoicing situation, is the release from heaven released? I think it is all the time, because that's why the promise is there. You tap into the things of God. It's a gate. Again, your golden ticket. Now listen, rejoice always, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. I can tell you I've tried before to physically pray for things throughout the day. And honestly, after about a day, maybe a day and a half at max, I ran out of things logically to pray for. Like, I prayed for everything I know how to pray for. This is why being filled with the Holy Ghost is so important. Because there's more things to pray for. Your spirit, connected to the Spirit of God, knows those things. He says in verse 18, and here's your golden ticket. And these things are connected, and they go hand in hand. In everything, give thanks.
Yeah.
Not for everything. A lot of people have taken that and they're like, Lord, I just thank you for this attack. No, that's not what it says. It says, in the attack, still thank God.
Yeah.
Now again, I go back to earlier what I said. It would be unjust of God for him to tell you to give thanks for something, if there wasn't something to be thankful for. So when he made this statement and said, in everything give thanks, that must be where there's an unrejoiceable moment, an unthankful looking moment.
Yeah.
There's still something to thank God for.
Yeah.
There's still something. And in that, for him to be just, there has to really be something there that is worthy of your thanksgiving. Now see, believers that get a hold of that, they might not know what that thing is. They might not know how it's going to work out. But in the middle of it, when they can start to rejoice and thank God anyway, because they know him, they know his character, and they know his nature. No matter what they see, Lord, I know there's something to give thanks for. I know there's something to rejoice over. I might not know what it is, and I might feel beat down right now, but Lord, there's something in you to give thanks over. you tap into something supernatural. Yeah. You tap into something spiritual.
Glory to God.
There's a spiritual supply that has already granted to you everything pertaining to life and godliness.
Yeah.
Granted to you a partnership of His divine nature. Divine nature. And you're thanking Him and rejoicing over who He is and the fullness of Him, whether you can see that thing yet or not.
Right.
All right. He says, watch this. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You ever wanted to know, well, I just need to know what God's will is. Lord, if you just talk to me, I need to know what God's will is. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is God's will for you.
Yeah.
Rejoice always, in everything give thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, if you'll learn to do that, you'll find the rest of His will.
Wow.
You already have the starter.
Yeah.
You know, if you're starting a fire, you got tinder, you got kindling, right? You got to have that starting stuff in a bad situation, or you're not going to get a fire started. You may want the logs of the fire eventually, but you got to start with the tinder and the kindling. That's rejoicing and giving thanksgiving.
That's right.
And so you might not have the logs available yet for the fire of God in your life, but your kindling and your beginnings is thankfulness and rejoicing and praying without ceasing. This is the will of God. You want to find the further will of God? You want to know the details? You want to know? Start right now thanking Him. Thank you, Lord. I rejoice. This is the gate. This is the gate to the glory. This is your golden ticket, is thanksgiving in God. I know it's Thanksgiving week, so how appropriate for the Lord to tell me to preach this message today. This message came about, I wasn't even thinking about Thanksgiving. I'm sitting in South Africa listening to Brother Tracy preach, and the Lord said, the golden ticket, Thanksgiving. I knew I was supposed to preach it here. I knew I was supposed to preach it here. Well, little did I know, a day or two later, He preaches this message. Like He preaches, I already had it. I already have it laid out. He preaches this message. I'm going to give you the link to it. And you can go listen. You're going to hear a lot of the same words, a lot of the same scriptures. Trust me, you need to hear it multiple times. But this is your golden ticket. Thanksgiving opens up everything. It opens up everything. It's your golden ticket. It's the gateway to glory. Thanksgiving is the gateway to glory, and it's the thing that's holding the people of God and the world back. A lack of it is holding them back. And watch this. He says, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench or restrain the Spirit. Don't restrain it. Don't quench the Spirit. This is an absolute command. Why? Because if you connect with the Spirit of God, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 17, it says, for when you, talking about the context is praying in tongues, you are giving thanks well enough. This is the Holy Spirit saying, when you pray in your prayer language, giving thanks to God in the Spirit, in tongues, this is the Holy Spirit saying, you're thanking God well. This is why more people need to be filled with the Spirit. Can you see why the devil would hold them back from being filled with the Spirit? Because if he can hold them back from being filled with the Spirit, he stops them from giving thanks at the appropriate heavenly level. And this is why we need to pray in the Spirit more and more and more. You'll find, I'm going to show it to you in a second, you'll find that when you get truly filled with the Spirit, when you're walking with the Spirit, you'll start thanking God for everything. You're like, thank you, Lord, for that popcorn ceiling. Thank you, Lord, that it's not just plain. Thank you, Lord, for these soundboards. Thank you, Lord, for that glass. Thank you, Lord, for that molding. Thank you, Lord, for these comfortable seats. And you're like, well, that's just silly. It didn't have to be here. In some way, it helps us. You'll start realizing that every good and perfect gift comes from Him, and it's worthy to thank Him for. And this heart is what gives you access into the fullness of God's glory. You're going to see it in the Word. Notice here that thanksgiving is directly tied to a flow of the Spirit. He says that you need to give thanks in everything. The very next verse, don't quench, don't restrain the Spirit. They go together. When you're in thanks, the Spirit's flowing. When you're not in thanks, the Spirit's not flowing. You're quenching it, you're restraining it. They go together. He says, don't despise prophetic utterances. A prophetic utterance is going to open up the power of God for you to fulfill something supernaturally you couldn't do in the natural. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. In other words, discern everything. But use a godly discernment, not a logical discernment. Most people, when they see that, they think they're logically supposed to process all this. Well, I don't know about what Pastor preached today. It's not about what you know. It's about what the Word does. It's about a move and a discernment, not by logic, but by the Spirit. Right? And this all goes together. I want to point out something to you. Can you discern properly without a rejoicing and thankful heart? No, because you're already quenching the Spirit, who's the one who will give you discernment. You want to discern properly? You better get thankful. You better get rejoicing. Like, I watch people, they're like professional critics. There's some Christians on Facebook and everywhere else, social media, they feel like their job is to hunt down preachers and to criticize every point of their message, and their job is to let the world know. Listen, it says it in the New Testament. Are they preaching Jesus? Yes. Leave them alone. If you'd spend as much time winning souls and making disciples as you are criticizing preachers, you'd fill up heaven with victory crowns. Let's get productive and stop wasting time. But you'll notice that people that do that, that are always criticizing other things, they will become bitter. They'll become bitter. They'll become critical. And if a move of the Spirit happened around them, you know it was the mercy of God for the people. Because it didn't generate with them. Because that critical nature, criticizing everything, judging everything from a logic and an emotion, but not by the Spirit, because they're not thankful. They're not rejoicing. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, verse 23, this is a big one. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete or whole without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you, and he will also bring it to pass.
Amen.
Say it with me. He will bring it to pass. When I follow his will, rejoice always, be thankful, don't quench the Spirit, abstain from evil, pray always, he will bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. And watch this. And in this thankful place, look at the promise he gives you. This thankful place to be able to preserve you, spirit, soul, and body, complete or whole. How many would like the preservation of God himself to preserve you in wholeness? In what God says wholeness is. Not what we think it is, but God's version of complete and whole. Where does it start? Where does the gate open?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. This is in the King James. Ephesians 5, 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, I'm about to give you some wisdom from the Holy Ghost. This is what this verse is saying. Make sure you follow His wisdom, because if you follow His wisdom, you'll be wise. But if you don't follow His wisdom, you'll be, not wise. You'll be foolish. You'll be foolish to not follow this. How many people want to be foolish? Yeah, that's good. I saw hands start to go up, and they're like, oh, wait, Pastor's tricking us. He's tricking us. It's a trick question. Amen. You're on top of it. You're paying attention. Good job. How many people want to be wise? Then you got to listen to what he's about to say. He says, here's walking as wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Now, I want you to see this. Let me just give you a visual. Come here, Mark. Here's a visual. Redeeming the time. Adam in the garden. Lost his covering of what, by the way, what was he covered with in the garden?
Glory.
The glory. What was he covered with? So he sins and the covering of the glory comes off. Now he's in sin. Now the timeline advances some 4,000 years to the time of Christ. And now man can receive back the covering through faith in Jesus Christ. Come forward in the timeline. And now he receives his covering of the glory again by accepting Jesus as his Savior. But you have to understand that there's still unredeemed area in here, but we are redeemed from the curse. So to redeem the time is to take this time that you're now in and bring it into a manifestation of the redemption. In other words, you walk and carry with you the glory of God that redeems, that heals, that brings about life to the overflow, that gives people a reason to rejoice, gives people a reason to think. This is every believer's call. This is to the church in Ephesus. Hey, everybody in the church, redeem the time. Walk out redemption. Carry redemption with you. Just the pastor?
No.
Every believer.
Yes.
Redeem the time.
Yes.
Redeem the time.
Yes.
And you can do it because you're redeemed and you're carrying, it's already been granted to you, everything pertaining to life and godliness. His redemption, you're carrying it with you. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Redeem the time, every believer. Now, how do you redeem the time? He's about to tell us. So, he says, don't walk as fools, but walk as wise. And when you're wise, you'll redeem the time. You'll walk redeemed, and you'll carry redemption. We're redeemed from the curse. You go into Galatians 3, we're redeemed from the curse.
Amen.
So if I'm going to carry redemption and bring the time into a redeemed time, I'm going to remove the curse from my life and I'm going to remove the curse from other people's lives. This is what redeeming the time is. Thank you. This is what redeeming the time is. When you enter into somebody's life, you should be carrying so much of the glory by entering the gate of thankfulness and rejoicing that you're carrying redemption with you. And when you just get around them, they start to be redeemed. They start to be redeemed. They start to be redeemed. Now, many of you have seen this in this church. Seen it in me. I could go to each one of you and say, has your life seen evidence of the redemption of Christ in it through the ministry of this church? Just raise your hand if you've seen an evidence of redemption. That's what I mean. I could talk about each one's testimony. But this is not just for a church. This is not just for a person or a pastor. You're a redeemer of the time. 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 Because you're going to enter into His glory and carry it with you through thankfulness. Watch. Well, I hadn't seen thankfulness yet. Oh, hold on. In the scripture, redeem the time. Be wise, redeem the time. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, now this sounds familiar, doesn't it? Remember over there where we understand what the will of the Lord is, we're thankful, we're rejoicing, we don't quench the spirit. Look at the next verse, verse 18. Know what the will of the Lord is. Don't be drunk with wine where it's in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't quench it. Let it go. Let it flow. This is a part of being wise. This is a part of redeeming the time. You can't redeem the time without the Spirit. You can't redeem the time without a flow of the Spirit in you. And you can't have a flow of the Spirit without thanksgiving. Verse 19, when you get filled with the Spirit and you're in the will of the Lord, you start speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Let me just tell you, when I have walked at my highest in the spiritual things, I constantly kind of wake up like I'm going through my day, but in the middle of my day, multiple times, time and time and time and time again, I'm sitting there singing in the Spirit. There's a melody coming out of my heart, and I'm thanking God for everything. It's a marker of a flow of the Spirit. And I've watched it now. I have enough years of experience to watch it. It happens every time I get on top of my spiritual game. Every time I get there, I say, thank you, Lord. Oh, God, you're so good. Thank you, Father. So pretty. Jesus, Jesus, the truth, your name. Who is higher? Your name is mighty. Thank you, Lord, for your name. The name of Jesus. Your blood. Your love. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, if I keep on going, the glory is going to drop in here and I'm not going to get to preach the rest of my message. And I want the glory to drop. But I want it to drop beyond just one meeting, which is why I want you to get revelation of it so you can carry this. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior. See, when I get on top of my spiritual game, a melody in my heart just starts coming out. It just starts coming out. Thanksgiving just starts coming out. Why? Because this, when I'm on top of my spiritual game, I'm doing what the Lord wants. And what the will of the Lord is a melody in your heart, a peace, a rejoicing, even in an unrejoiceable moment, a thanksgiving, even when it looks like there's nothing to give thanks over. This is the gatekeeper. This is the key card. This is the golden ticket. But you're not going into Willy Wonka's kingdom. You're going into the kingdom of the one who made the universe, the creator of all things, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who his majesty on high, the beginning and the end, the I am that I am. You're not just going into a worldly kingdom. No, you're entering into the kingdom filled with his glory. Filled with all the goodness of God. Oh, can you feel it? Can you sense it? Yeah. Knocking at your door, like, will you be thankful? If you'll be thankful, you can enter. This is the key. This is the golden ticket. You understand that? Yeah. This is not just emotion that's happening and hitting you. This is the Spirit of God. People misunderstand because they're spiritually immature. This is not emotion. This is the Holy Spirit drawing your spirit. Come up here. Come up to this place. Walk at this level. Redeem the time. He says, verse 20, this is the will of the Lord. Be filled with Spirit, speaking to yourself, songs, hymns, melody in your heart. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So again, here we have the glory. Here we have the things of God. We have the will of God. And what's smack dab in the middle of it? Thanksgiving. The flow of the Spirit. Thanksgiving to God. And then he says this, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So you start getting in the will of God, you start getting things, you stop fighting people, you start submitting to your brother and sister in Christ. You start considering them higher. You stop looking for reasons why you disagree, and you start looking for reasons why you agree.
Yeah.
It's a part of the will of God. The golden ticket. That verse 20. In Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things, giving thanks always for what? All things. So there's some things to give thanks for. There's some things. God's saying there's some things.
Yeah.
Unto God the Father in the name. There's some things in the name. There's some things in the name. You see the context of it. This is the fullness. And the Lord spoke to Brother Tracy and said this about Ephesians 5:20. Here, thanksgiving is the gate to the fullness. Giving thanks always to the Father for all the things that are yours that are inside His name. In other words, in Him and in His plan and in His glory are all the things that will answer your problems. But the gatekeeper and the key, the golden ticket to it, is thanksgiving. Giving thanks always for the things in His name. He said, the Lord said this to Brother Tracy. I continue on. I'm trying to quote him as best I can. He says, no matter what you're going through, what's inside the name will deliver you from it. No matter what you're going through, what's inside the name will deliver you from it. Well, what's the glory also? The glory is all of His goodness. See, the glory is what's inside the name. And in His glory is all of your answers. It's all the stuff you need. It's all the things in the name. And you're giving Him thanks for what's in the name before you even see the manifestation of it.
Yes.
He says, no matter what you're going through, what's inside that name will deliver you from it. People are getting it. You're seeing answers here. Here's what the Lord said to Brother Tracy. Teach my people that thank you is the highest manifestation of corresponding action to faith that exists. He said, the Lord said to him, if I gave you a gift, what would you say? Thank you. Why would you say it? Because I received that gift. Listen, hear this. Don't miss this point. Sounds small, it's not. The proper response to a gift received is thank you. Well, that ought to draw some of you scholars to Mark 11 that says if you're going to be in proper faith, you must believe that you have received. So if I believe that I have received before I even finish the prayer, coming out of my mouth is a thank you because I know I've received the answer to my prayer. I've received it. See, when you say thank you and it's real to you, you realize I've received something. It might not have manifested fully yet, but I got it. 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 It's like a woman that has a baby. That baby hadn't manifested for 9 months. But when did she receive that baby? When did she have it? At conception. Thank you, Lord. See, at your conception, when you see a promise of God, and you go, oh, that's my promise. That's my promise. That's my promise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you is the proper response to a gift received. And if you can't say thank you out of your heart, what you're saying is, I don't believe I've received it yet. Thank you, Lord. That's the anointing. Unlocking, breaking yokes. Where you had the key of thanksgiving, there was worldly putty in the lock. And this preaching under the anointing has now drilled out that putty of the world and that unbelief and that wrong doctrine of the world. So now you can enter that key of thanksgiving and receive the door made open to you. The proper response to a... You may be seated. We're not done yet. Don't get too excited. I mean, get excited, but don't get finished excited, okay? Don't shut down. We're going to a place. And look. I'm just barely past the first half of my first page. I got a whole nother side.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Now I'm going to move fast. But y'all be in faith. And just say, thank you, pastor's going to preach fast. Amen. That'll help me. It'll help me. Thank you, pastor's going to preach fast today. Woo! Hey, say, hombre canamoso. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Now. In Jesus' name. So Brother Tracy went on to say this, until a person can say thank you, they do not believe that they have received what God's given them. Until they can truly say thank you with their heart. I mean, they can give lip service, but listen, if you can't get a thank you out of your mouth, you definitely don't have it in your heart. We should be able to say thank you so fast, so easy. I mean, where did we deserve to go? God does nothing. Where we end up? Man, we got something to thank God over. And Brother Tracy said this by the Lord. He said, what will slam the door on your miracle is an ungrateful heart. What will slam the door on your miracle is an ungrateful heart. Now I'm telling you, like Life Group leaders, anybody that's not here, you make sure they get this message in their hands. Because we want the whole church walking in the glory. So if somebody's not here, you recognize, amen, somebody's not here for whatever reason this Sunday morning, you make sure they get a link to this message. Psalm 100, the gate of thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. I mean, how many times across the word are we going to have to see rejoice, rejoice always, be thankful, pray about every... How many times are we going to have to see this till we start doing it?
Yeah.
How many times? We're going to do it now. We're going to make a decision today. We're going to take the key of thanksgiving. We're going to take that golden ticket of thanksgiving to the glory. And today, we will never shrink back from thanksgiving and rejoicing again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Like a melody in your heart. I wonder why when we get filled with the Spirit, a melody's in our heart. We're coming into His presence. There's just something about that name. It just starts to come out of you. It goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. There's a melody in your heart. There's thanksgiving on your lips. There's a rejoicing in your spirit. You see, it's all over the Word. But yet we miss this. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people. Just that statement alone. We're God's people. Just tell your neighbor, say, I'm God's people. I'm God's people. I'm God's people. Like there's some people you want to be people of, and then there's other people you don't want to be people of. You want to be God's people. I'm God's people. Amen. See, in the South, we get that too. We're like, I'm God's people. In the North, they might not get that quite as much, but here we get it. I'm God's people. You understand? I'm God's people. You're all my people. I praise God for you. I don't care where you came from, what you look like. You're my people. You're my people. And you're God's people. You're God's people. You're God's people. He made us we're his people. That does something. He says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's got a pasture, and man, that thing's stocked. He's got the best stuff in it. And he's made us to be sheep of his pasture. We get to eat and graze on the glory of God.
Yeah.
On the glory of God.
Glory to God.
Enter his gates. With what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Yes.
It's the gate to the glory.
Yeah.
It's the gate into his presence.
Yeah.
Where all the goodness of God. Yeah. It's the gate. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Oh, how much have you given me? How much do I not have to go through because you've given it to me? Because you raised me in a church of his spirit and of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And now I'm in a church, even if you weren't raised in it, but you're in one now. You can walk in it too. A church of thanksgiving to God. Because this is not just individual. It starts individually. But do you know what happens to a church when the whole church gets in thanksgiving?
Mercy.
Ooh, that's the kind of stuff we want to see. People walk in, they need a miracle in their body, and bones just start snapping into place. Pop, pop, and healed. Cancer just starts falling off of them. Oh, they got their energy back. Whoo, lungs open up because we're a church of his thanksgiving. We're a church of his praise. And we stay in that place. We submit ourselves to one another, consider others higher than ourselves. That's the way it's supposed to be. I know it's not normal in America, but that's the way it's supposed to be. You're in one that's going after it. We might not have arrived fully where we need to, but we're going after it, and we're not going to stop till we get there. You're in that place. You start to rejoice. You just start thinking about this stuff. You're just like, oh, this is awesome, Lord. Where are we going? It's going to be so good.
Yes.
What are you going to do for the people? It's going to be awesome.
Yes.
I'm so excited about the testimonies that are going to come through you. So excited about the testimonies. Come here. Whew. Tell me your first name again. Derek. Come up here, Derek. I just saw something when I looked at you. Hold your hands out. God's about to release glory through your hands. And when you pray over people, from this day forward, the power of God is going to long to move through your hands. Father, anoint these hands. And as he thanks you, may the glory of God reside in him. May your anointing fill him and overflow him. And may by his hands, your work be done in people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Fill him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, bring him answers. He may have things he's got to work out in his own life. Lord, start there. Start bringing that glory. Even when he lays hands on his house will be protected. When he lays hands, you have kids? When he lays hands on his kids, the blood of Jesus surrounds them and protects them in Jesus' name. It'll start right there. But Lord, let it continue to grow and multiply and manifest. God's got a plan for you, Derek. He's got a destiny laid out, and I'm telling you, it's awesome. I saw a glimpse of it when I looked your way. Do you receive it? Amen. If you receive something, what should you say to the Lord? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Bless his name. When you start thanking him, you start blessing his name. And people hear you thank him and give thanks to him. All of a sudden, people are like, oh, that's why they're blessed, is God. You start to bless his name in front of people. You bless them. Oh man, they've got that kind of car and they're thanking God for that car. They got that kind of house. They got that kind of job. They got that kind of peace in their family. And they're thanking God. You're making God look good in front of the world. You're blessing his name.
Yeah.
See, it's not just for you. It's for the world as well.
Yeah.
For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Brother Tracy said this, every time we are thankful, we have access to everything that is in His name. Psalm chapter 50 and verse 23. Psalm 50, verse 23. Are you getting something out of this? Are some things turning on the inside of you? Lord, I thank You. Lord, I thank You. Lord, I thank You. Lord, I thank You. Bring me oil. Lord, I thank You. I tell you what, no, just bring me my book bag real quick. Bana o te kevest, kobra atavons, ombe osivi, and o te kleni, kanama ataraboso. Did you find it in there? That's okay, hold on. She etanamo stone, dynamo o te brakara, dynamo stone. This one's traveled with me. So obrana ataramosti, denameske. You can take it back. Thank You, Father, for Your anointing. And Your grace. Thank You for Your anointing and Your grace. Thank You for Your anointing and Your grace. Thank You for Your anointing and Your grace. See, something's happening today inside of you, and this will be a day that marks you and marks your future. This will be a day that marks you and marks your future. Lord, anoint him with the oil of joy and the oil of gladness from this day forward. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness and Your mercy. May he carry Your anointing in thanksgiving and praise and rejoicing over all things. May he access the gates of Your presence, and may he access the gates of Your glory in every area of life in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're new and you're wondering, what I spoke over him in English was the interpretation of what I prayed out in tongues. Thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus. Did you hear that? In the name of Jesus. So be it. So be it. So be it. So be it.
Oh, thank You. Thank You.
Baha Dana Most. I still got more left. There's a blessing sitting on front. Thank You. Okay. Subramoso. You hunger? Fine. I was walking away, but your hunger drew me back. The Lord said, nope, He wants it. He wants that anointing present. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. And what am I doing there? In my personal prayer language, I'm thanking God well. Thank You, Lord, for blessing these people. Thank You, Lord, for blessing them. Thank You, Lord, for blessing them. Thank You, Lord, for blessing them. Thank You, Lord. Now, it's not ministry time. We're not quite done. Whew. Thank You, Lord, for blessing them. Thank You, Lord, for blessing them. Hallelujah. Ho be and amosto. Bonamoso be caramoso. She be et amosto. Be claustum. The opening of the gates to His glory and all things that are in His name. The opening of the gates from this day, it shall be different. Bene che da ovring aldo e da offrando of blastum beco toste be al trono to. I mean the manifestation of all the goodness of God in these hands, touching everything that He touches. Who turns to your glory? Turns to your glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Psalm 50 and verse 23. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. Watch this. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. So the salvation, working backwards, seeing what these things brought about. The salvation of God and the path, the way that's ordered, is given to the heart that thanks Him. And He shows us here that it says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving, your thanksgiving is an offering. You want to give an offering to God? How about starting with thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is an offering. And He says, the word says honor in the New American Standard, but in the King James it says, the thanksgiving glorifies me. It glorifies me. You see the connection to the thanksgiving and the glory, all the goodness of God? The thanksgiving glorifies me. Do you understand that when God is glorified, you walk in that glory? So when I give thanks and He's glorified, His glory is manifested. So if I want to step into the manifestation of the glory, I just start giving Him thanks. I give Him thanks. I offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now the sacrifice of thanksgiving is this, is that no matter how I feel about it, you remember where it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, I beg you by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, the perfect will of God. You're making a sacrifice because you're putting down, you're crucifying your flesh, you're crucifying the logic of the flesh, you're crucifying the feelings of the flesh, and you're saying, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what situation I'm in, regardless of if it's a joyful situation or an unrejoicing situation, where it's a thanksgiving situation or an unthanksgiving, I will put my flesh down, how I feel, how I think, how I feel to move in this moment. I will sacrifice, crucify the feelings and thoughts of my flesh, and instead of living by my flesh, I will offer this sacrifice of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And when you offer that sacrifice of thanksgiving, the God is glorified. I can step into that glory. He'll give me and order my path into that glory, and I'll receive the salvation that I need. I'll receive all that in one verse. Back up a few verses before that, same chapter, verse 12. He says, God's talking here. And He says, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Like, God don't need to tell us He's hungry. Why? Because He's got everything He needs. Basically what He's saying, if I had a need, I won't tell you. I can eat myself. I can speak and have whatever I need.
Yeah.
In other words, I don't need you.
Wow.
Because I got everything, which is what the rest of the verse says. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof.
Amen.
The world is mine. I don't have to tell you what I need, God says, because I have it all anyway. Now, why is He telling us that He has it all? Is He like bragging? No. He's not telling you because He's bragging. He's telling you because He's going to tell you how to get access to what He has. He's going to tell you how to get access to the world and the fullness thereof. He's telling you, I don't have to ask you. It comes from me. It comes from me. Watch. He says, if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. He said, for the world is mine, the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving. offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High, the one who has the world and the fullness thereof. Here's what you give to Him. Lord, I thank You. And see, this is what even tithes and offerings should be. You don't see it as money coming out of your pocket. You see it as thanksgiving to God. Lord, I thank You. I wouldn't have anything. Lord, I thank You. See, when we attach our thanksgiving there, we open up the glory. We open up all the things that are in that name. But if we're like, man, church wants me to pay some money again, you know, and that's your attitude, well, you just shut down the glory. The reason why we get excited is because people got a hold of that. They understand I'm opening up some stuff. I'm opening up the world and all the fullness of it. But we need to remember that every time we give. We need to have that heart. He says this, and call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And thou shalt glorify Me. Offer thanksgiving, and the door to the glory will be open, and your salvation and your deliverance will be right at hand. And how do you open the door? Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Then he goes down into verse 23. He who offers sacrifice of thanksgiving and honors or glorifies Me, and to him who orders his way aright, he does it these things the right way, I'll show him that path. I'll show him the salvation of God. You want answers? You want solutions? Where does it start? Thanksgiving. 1 Corinthians 15, 55 through 57. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57 is what I want you to see. But thanks be to God. Thank You, Lord. Death, You've got no sting. Whoo! Death, You've got no sting. Grave, You've got no victory. Thank You, Lord, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Amplified says this. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus. Brother Tracy said this, I love this statement. He says, thanksgiving is on the lips of conquerors and victorious people. Thanksgiving is on the lips of victorious and conquering people. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Because they realize it's not just them. Thank You, Lord. John chapter 11, verse 39. You see here the victory, the things that are in that name being released, the things that are in that name, the things that are being released through thanksgiving, the glory that's being released. Look at this, John chapter 11, verse 39 through 44. Jesus said, because Lazarus had died, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. That's King James for he's really gone. He's like, he's not just dead, by now he really stinketh. That's extra stink. For he that had been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. So there's the glory. Didn't I say if you'll believe, you'll see the glory? If you'll believe, you'll see the glory. When you chose to believe that day, the glory's coming because you chose to believe. You see that? You chose to believe instead of chose to doubt and chose to be in condemnation, so you'll see the glory. If thou wilt believe, you'll see the glory of God. He says, then they took the stone away from the place where where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, how did Jesus get the miraculous? How did he get the glory manifested? He stayed in thanksgiving. Here's what he said. Father, I thank thee. Thank you, Lord. You've heard me. You've heard me. So here you got glory and thanksgiving again. It's the connector. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard me. And I know you always hear me. But because of the people which I stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Because what I'm about to do, I can't do as a man. It's got to be the Heavenly Father. It's got to be supernatural. And I thank you. Lord, it's you. It's you, Lord. I'm not thanking myself. It's you, Father. It's you, Father. I'm not moving into abundance in my business by myself. Oh, Lord, it's you, Father. I'll work hard, but it's you who gives me the ability to work hard. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. I thank you. I thank you. See, this is the pattern of Jesus. With every prayer and petition was with thanksgiving. I thank you. And when he had thus spoken, he cried a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. And here was the glory that he was talking about to Martha. Didn't I say, if you'll believe, you'll see the glory? Here's the glory. The dead are raised back to life. How did the glory come into being? Jesus started with thanks. He opened the gate with thanks. I will say, notice this, there's a lot of Christians, a lot of believers. Remember how we start out with the jacket and Mark? There's a lot of believers, they come into the kingdom, but their thoughts, their emotions, the insides of their inner man, of not the spirit man, but the soul of man is still bound. They're alive again, but they need to be unbound in their thinking. They need to sit under anointed teaching that'll break the yoke of those deceptions. There's many Christians in churches today that are born again. They're alive in Christ. They're going to heaven. But they're still bound up in their religious thinking. Religion still told them that they're not fully alive yet till they get to heaven. No, you're fully alive. You're in eternal life now. It's time for you to walk in the glory now. Now. It's time to not be held back under the curse. You're redeemed from the curse. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Before we finish with some shouts, I'm going to stretch your flesh one more time. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, and watch this, are clearly seen. It's not hard to see God. God's pronounced, they're clearly seen. If somebody's having trouble seeing God, it's because they're not, in some way or some form, they're not wanting to see Him because His things are clearly seen. He's told us this. So somebody says, well, it's just hard for me to find God. No, you believe that it's hard. You've wanted to see it hard, some combination of that. But the things of God are clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, they saw things that showed them God. You just talk to a doctor that's gone through medical school and get to talking to him about the kidney and talk to him about an eyeball and the technology that's in those things. Just go look at a leaf on a tree. And understand, there is a God. There's a God. And it's easy to see Him. But at some point, you got to say, I don't want to follow what He's doing. And that's when they make the decision to make it hard. And then what they need to do is just simply quickly repent. Lord, I change my heart right now. And I receive you and who you are right now. It doesn't have to be hard. You're facing hard. Jesus says, Matthew 11, come to me. All who are heavy laden. All who are under pressure, who are heavy laden. Come to me. Take my yoke upon you. And I'll show you easy and light. I'm gentle. I'll teach you my ways and I'll make it easy and light. See, it's hard for some people even to say thank you to anybody. They can't say thank you to God. They can't say thank you to other people. We need to get thanksgiving to be a part of us to move into these things. In this account, he says this. He says, the people that denied the presence of God by not living that way, because of that, even when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Here again is the glory. They glorified Him not, neither were they thankful. Now watch what happens when they didn't glorify him and they weren't thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. See, when you're not thankful, you dim your own wisdom. When you don't have the wisdom to recognize that God deserves thanks and God deserves the glory, then you immediately cut off the switch of wisdom to the rest of your life. You cut off the access to those things. And he says this, and they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Now watch this. Isn't it the supernatural glory that will bring answers to your life? So when God's glory shows up, it's a supernatural substance, right? It's a supernatural things. Isn't that what we need to answer the questions and lead us to those places saving us from this item or that item? We need His salvation through that glory in His name. Thanksgiving will open that up. But watch this. It's supernatural. But when they became unthankful, they literally took the supernatural glory, and in their head, they turned glory into something that was natural. And so they started trying to access their answers by something that could never answer their problem. Because we don't wrestle against natural flesh and blood things. We wrestle against principalities and powers. And so their lack of thankfulness cut off the supply to their solution. And the solution that they need, it completely cut that off. And their answers that they think they have are just band-aids. They'll fall to the ground. They'll fall to pieces. They will be destroyed. And they never have the answers that they need. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be people that turn the supernatural answers and supernatural glory into a natural answer. But you look at churches across America, they're trying to solve all their church stuff with all these programs and logic and things like that. That's part of what the problem is they've not thanked God for what they have in the Holy Ghost. They've not thanked Him for the real flow of the Spirit. They've tried to turn church growth into programs and processes instead of letting the Holy Spirit flow. And because they've not thanked God for what He's already given them in the Holy Ghost and the rock of revelation, that He is the anointed one. He's the one that carries the anointed. And on this rock, on this revelation, I will build my church, He said. In Matthew 16, they've tried to turn the revelation into, we build it with this program and that program. And look, we got processes and programs, but it all comes back to the glory of a supernatural God. And God, we're thankful for your anointing, and we will not make room for a natural man to sit in the seat and on the throne where only supernatural God should sit. And we're convicted over that. And because of that, we have answers. We have healing. We have miracles. We touch the glory. We're thankful for that. If you follow these verses, it goes on to say, they become so darkened, they become so foolish in their thinking, they literally take nature and reverse it. Men loving men, women loving women, and we're in the situation that we have today. Now listen to this. Today states 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. You know this. And where did that stem? Where did it come from? Being unthankful. He said, know this, that in the last days, perilous times should come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You see, if you're a lover of your own self, you're basically thanking yourself. You're not thanking God. You're thanking the pleasure that your flesh affords you. In the last days, and how will they get to this place where they're not thanking God and they've actually exchanged a supernatural glory for a very natural glory? How will they get there? Not being thankful and not glorifying God. Not recognizing where it comes from. He says in the last days they'll be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Listen to this. Disobedient to parents. Unthankful and unholy. Unthankful. You want to talk about kids that are disobedient? You want to know how to fix that? Teach them to be thankful. They go hand in hand. They work together. If they're going to be disobedient parents, they're going to be unthankful as well. You got to teach them to be thankful. And I want to teach my kids to think big and to love big and to believe big, you know. And they've gotten a part of it. It's like, hey, where y'all want to go for dinner? When I was a kid, they were like, where you want to go for dinner? We're like, McDonald's, you know, Happy Meal and French fries. They're like, sushi, steak. Now, I praise God they're thinking big. I praise God they've got a larger, you know, taste about things. But you need to be thankful too. Like, I'm still thankful I can go to McDonald's. There were times we couldn't go to McDonald's. Right, Mom? There were times we couldn't go to McDonald's. I wanted a Happy Meal. I wanted a little toy that came in there when they actually gave real toys. We couldn't always go get a Happy Meal and a toy. I was very thankful when I could go to McDonald's and buy a Happy Meal anytime I wanted to. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. I can go to McDonald's. I want them to believe big, but I want them to be thankful for what they have too. If you're just eating rice, but you're eating, you should be thankful for that. In 1 Timothy 6, it says, look, it says, if you have food and covering, with these you should be content, which means I should be thankful for that.
That's right.
And even if that's all I have for the rest of my life, I can thank Him for the rest of my life over those things. Anything above that's bonus, and I should thank Him more. I don't want to lose Thanksgiving because I'm not getting steak and sushi. Well, I don't have this. I don't have that. Be thankful.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, if we go to a restaurant, Luke's like, he likes steak. I don't eat steak all the time. I don't like it all the time, but Luke does. He's like, ribeye.
Yeah.
He knows how he likes it cooked. He knows that he's 10. I didn't even know what the ratings were at 10. You know, I didn't know there was medium and medium rare and well. I didn't know that. He knows it.
Yeah.
Praise God, he's blessed. But here, I want you to see this. As a parent, I've got to teach him to be content, even if he just gets an appetizer. Even if he just, like, and before he just goes, yeah, I want a ribeye. Right? He needs to learn to be thankful for that. Like, I don't have to have this. I'm only having the ability to get this because God has blessed my family. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I'm teaching him to be a good steward. You see what I'm saying? I'm teaching him to be a good steward. Don't just get something because you can. That's a user. But it doesn't mean that you're thankful. You want to learn how to be a good steward and be thankful over these things. Many times the people that are unthankful, they'll order the most expensive thing on the menu. But they're not, because they're not thankful for just having food. You see, so there's a balance here, and you have to understand. Now, you understand that if you will be content, you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, it'll go on to say that if you are content and you combine contentment, true contentment and godliness, it's a means of great gain. So he literally says, if you will learn to be content, if you will stay in that place of thanksgiving, you'll get those big things. But you got to make sure you hold the heart of contentment with that thanksgiving and godliness no matter what. So you, when you go up, you want to be a good steward. Hey, do I need, I'd love to have this, but do I need to spend this today? Is there something else that needs to be a better steward of this money on? And so I got to teach my kids to say, hey, I'd like to have that ribeye, but hey, do I need to order something else, Dad? Because I'm content with this. The cheeseburger or whatever on the kids' menu. Oh, no, go ahead and get it. No, today we do need to order this because we've got something else for this money. So see, that's a thankful, content child that's taught to be a good steward. So see, this Thanksgiving is, I'm not just being thankful and I'm expecting all the time, but now what does the word say? He says he's not withholding any good thing to those who walk uprightly. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land.
That's right.
Yeah. So I'm expecting to eat the good of the land, but that's going to, my willingness and obedience goes back to contentment and thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will open the door to those things, but I shouldn't just run to the highest price item on the menu and not say, Lord, what would you have me to do? There's a contentment and a thanksgiving in that place. Does that make sense? So a lot of times we have this stuff out of balance, and this comes back to Mark standing up here with a coat where he's learning about faith, and he's learning about contentment, he's learning about thanksgiving, he's learning about the glory, he's learning about eating the best of the land, he's learning about all these things, and there's a balance to it on how to wear that coat. Some people just go straight to the strongest portions of the menu, the highest cost. Some people go to the lowest cost. There's a balance of it, and you have to learn how to wear that coat of contentment and thanksgiving so that you'll always have the best that God wants you to have right in that moment. Right in that moment. Do you see this balance? And watch this. But thanksgiving is a key part of this. He says, look, in the last days, they'll be unthankful and unholy, disobedient to parents. Covetous. They'll constantly covet things they shouldn't covet. Even like with Luke in that menu. He'll covet the best stuff. That's a trap of the end days. And it goes along with unthankfulness.
Yeah.
Listen, we've gone to multiple conferences before where we had no money but to get there and maybe get home.
Yeah.
Well, what am I going to... I can't go to a conference. I don't have any money for food. Fast. I've done it.
Yeah.
I'm not a, like what you were saying earlier, I'm not a good witness of God in that place. Yes, you are. Because if he told you to go, you're there. And that thankfulness, thank you, Lord, that I'm here. Look, I'm just happy that I'm here. When you go, I just went to South Africa at a personal invite with Brother Tracy. Understand that puts me in a close circle with him. Understand, when I went to his first minister's conference, I sat three or four rows back, and I remember telling God this, Lord, I am just happy to be here. Thank you for letting me be here. Because not everybody in the kingdom of God gets to see and witness and receive this level of thing. The glory that he's releasing, the anointing that he's releasing, not everybody gets to see that. Thank you. Thank you for letting me be here. Now what's that thanksgiving opened up? And that honor. And he just spoke about it. Well, I'm going to give you the link to the teaching where he taught along these same scriptures. Different message, but along the same thing. We'll send it out to the Boomerang Line on Voxer. But in it, you'll hear him talk about my thankfulness. He literally, towards the end, he talks about my thankfulness in it. And he talks about this man sitting here because of his thankfulness, because he recognized the gift in me for his life, and he thanks. And now he's receiving supernatural things that you can't even define in words, is basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
Why? Because of thankfulness. I was just happy. Listen, I never had to be in an inner circle or anything like that. I was happy just to be sitting in the meeting. Some of you feel that way about this church. Lord, thank you for letting me be here. And many people, we have travel and come in, they'll drive in an hour. Miss Marilyn drives in an hour every week to be here at this church. Why? Because there's not a church like this on every corner.
Yeah.
There's a lot of churches, but not a church like this.
Yeah.
And people are thank God for that. And when you start to thank God for the things that are in your life, even the small things, it starts opening up more. It starts opening up more and more. Watch this now. In the last days, they'll be unthankful and holy. This is what Brother Tracy said. Hear this, and you'll see the truth in it. People are confused all over the world because they are unthankful. They're confused all over the world because they're unthankful. They thought they were becoming more wise, but they actually became more foolish. Just yesterday we had a party. My niece turned 16, so we were there. Mom's brother, Uncle Frank, was there. And he and I were just like laughing because we're like, do you see the state of the world right now? And we were literally laughing because it literally makes no sense. Like, you've got groups promoting other groups that group that they're promoting will kill them for what they believe. And we're like, that is the most foolish thing ever. But they're promoting each other and they're thinking that they're being wise. But as soon as that group would come into power, they would throw you off of a building and just did it.
Yeah.
Just a couple years ago, I watched the video. Because they don't agree, but they thank them for their support right now.
Yeah.
But as soon as they come into power, they'll kill them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking about talk bad about them and pick on them and haze them. Kill them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've got people that think that's a smart thing because they've lost their wisdom because they're unthankful. What? Watch this. He said this. People are confused all over the world because they're unthankful. He said, you can't become a homosexual, lesbian, or transgender without first becoming unthankful for the way that God made you. You can't do it. See, that's why you're unthankful to how God made you. And that's what that Romans 1 is talking about. The issue is not how they were made. The issue is ungratefulness. The issue is ungratefulness. Brother Tracy said, when we become corporately thankful, the glory is going to descend on the church. So when we become corporately thankful, it makes this lack of wisdom go away. It shows us the entrance into His glory. I want you to watch. Now I want you to see something. I'm going to teach you a way of the Spirit. I'm going to show you something. And then I got one, two verses and we're done. I want you to see this. Everybody's shouting and giving God glory when Thanksgiving leads us into the glory. But when it comes to dealing with the world's issues, we want to be thankful for what He's going to give us. But when His Lordship teaches us that how we're doing it in the world is wrong and we need to rethink some stuff, everybody simmers down. But that verse we read at the first said, rejoice.
Always.
See, I'm just as happy with what I just told you a few minutes ago about Romans 1 as I am about leading into the glory of God. I'm just as happy over both those things because both of those things are God. And I got to understand that the wisdom of God will lead me into those places even if my flesh doesn't agree with the wisdom. Right now, I start saying, Lord, thank you for your wisdom, even if I don't agree with it. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Thank you for your grace. I rejoice with you because I know you're always leading us to triumph in Christ. I know that you're not withholding any good thing. So if you're saying this, something is binding us, keeping us out of the glory. So I need to hear the stuff I want to hear and the stuff I don't want to hear. If it's coming from you, because you are carrying that wisdom and that grace. And when we get corporately thankful for every bit of His wisdom, the glory of God will descend on this house. And it'll descend in your lives and descend in your home. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice! Rejoice! Verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Do you know what makes me gentle? When I have answers. You know what makes me not gentle? When I need solutions. You come and you attack my family, you're going to see non-gentle Brian. You're going to see, and you'll see this too. The devil comes and attacks you. You're going to see non-gentle pastor with that devil. Now, I'll be gentle in my spirit, but in my prayer, I will be aggressive towards that devil because I'm done with him trying to mess with my family. You understand? But I can be gentle when I know it's handled. So I might in prayer, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come against these attacks on cars. I come against these attacks on these vehicles. I come against these attacks in the name of Jesus on people's pets, on their homes, on their family. I come against those attacks. They shall not stand any longer in the name of Jesus and by His blood. And I'm praying for real right there. But then when I pray, and Lord, watch, thank You that I have received protection and solutions against these attacks. Thank You, Lord, that I've received these things. Thank You, Lord, that I've received these things. And all of a sudden, you'll see a gentleness come in. A gentleness come in. Why? Because I know these attacks are handled. The Lord's near. That's where gentleness comes in. Amen. Tell me your name again. Cheryl. Can I pray for you? That'd be all right. Father, right now, Lord, no, you can sit, it's fine. Lord, right now, everything that's tried to come against her life, in the name of Jesus, let it be broken off of her now. Let her come up to a victory like she's never seen before. May the glory of God invade her life, invade her home, invade her family like never before. I'm talking about a glory that only heaven knows and can define. Words in English won't define it. But Lord, let it come up to another level. Let there be an overflow. Let there be a supply. Let there be a peace and a gentleness. And let thanksgiving come out of her like never before. In the name of Jesus, let it be a flow of the Spirit of God. And mom too. Amen. Because you're her mom, right? Mm-hmm. Visiting from South Carolina?
No, Alabama.
What part?
Wilcox.
I don't know. My mom is from Center, Alabama. Oh. Do you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Do you know where Wilcox is? No? Well, y'all can talk after church and you can meet each other and y'all can rehearse notes. And amen. Boomerang Church, making connections. Glory to God. Amen. Let your gentle spirit be made be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Every prayer should have thanksgiving at its base. Because thanksgiving is the core of the manifestation that you have received, that you believe you have received. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many people want to be protected from the thoughts of the world? What's the access to it? Thanksgiving. Lord, the gate to the glory, the golden ticket. Lord, we thank You. We thank You. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good report, is good repute. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Now watch this. Only think on things that are worth thanksgiving. If it's not worth thanksgiving, don't think on that. People bring bad news to me all the time. I'm like, okay, it'll be okay. Thank You, Lord. Because in that thanksgiving and in that fellowship with Him, He'll show me what to do about that. I don't have to figure it out. I just start thanking Him for the solution. I start thanking Him for the solution, and He'll order my steps into what's right and lead me to that salvation. Psalm 50, 23 that we read earlier. Lord, I thank You. Right now, I just encourage you, get thanksgiving on your heart. Thanksgiving will guard your heart. Thanksgiving, look at that. Thanksgiving will guard your heart. It'll guard your mind. Most people that struggle over and over and over and over again, you know what they're not? Thankful. But if you get thankful, oh, it'll guard you. It'll guard you. I encourage you, start making a list of every testimony that God's performed in your life.
Yeah.
And when rough times hit, we're not believing them to hit, but if you find yourself there in them, read over that list and start thanking God for those testimonies. Yeah. Start thanking God for those miracles. Start thanking God for every good thing. Thank God that you're not going to hell. Thank God that you have a church that's alive. Thank God that you have a hope and a joy, and you can put on joy today. Thank Him that He's leading you into all the glory of God. Thank Him that He's not leading you to be confused, but to bring you the wisdom of God. Last verse, Hebrews 13:15. Amen. I woke her up. Hebrews 13:15. Through Him then, let us continually offer up the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that gives thanks to His name. This thanksgiving is meant to be a continual fruit on our lips, in every place, in everything. You know, all of this starts with us thanking God for the gift of Jesus Christ for our sin. Lord, thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son for saving us. Just close your eyes right now. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. And you didn't know it then, but when you started thanking God for Jesus, you started releasing wisdom into your life and opening up the fullness of the glory of God, the fullness of everything that He owns. The world is His and the fullness thereof. And when you started thanking Him for just Jesus alone, He opened up business to you. He opened up healing to you. He opened up your spouse and kids to you. He opened up a supernatural glory to you. Lord, I thank You. I thank You. When I'm praying for something in my life that needs healing or needs fixing, I'll pray and release faith and receive that anointing. But then every time I think of it thereafter, I just start thanking Him. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You for healing me. Thank You, Lord, for providing for me. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for providing that car. Thank You, Lord, for providing that job. Thank You, Lord, for providing that healing. See, this is not just a message to get you to amen what I'm saying. It's a message that's designed to change your action. Lord, I thank You. One of the greatest things that we can ever do is thank Him by laying our life down. Lord, I give You me. I receive Your blood covenant in my life that's stronger than any other blood that sinned. Lord, I receive it for my life. I receive it as a testimony and a covenant. And I thank You for it. I'll never back down from it. And I'll walk into the glory of God with thanksgiving.